This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. Looks like another nice morning ahead of us. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Hey, everybody. It's Johnny B here.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Doing okay, Mick?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, a little. Didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
Oh.
It's going to be nap time in the nursery when I get off.
Nap time in the nursery.
That's it. I'll be like laid up. I don't know what was going on out on the bay last night, but I've never seen that kind of, or heard that kind of flow of fire trucks, ambulances, cop cars. I don't know what went down during the night.
Who knows? I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
Nobody else does either. Well, first thing I did when I got
there was
up
a ruckus?
Well, I don't know if there was a ruckus or a big fire or a bad wreck. I have no idea, man. Mm. It was a steady flow of them. It was get down. But maybe I'll find out later. First thing I did was check social media this morning. There was nothing on there about it. It's 2:30 in the morning. So,
yeah, who knows what's going on at 2:30. Yeah. We got UFO sightings and folks listening to Coast to Coast.
Yeah, do you listen to some of that coming in?
No.
I do too. Man.
I want it to be silent. I hear enough stuff during the day.
I'm into talk radio. Anything, just hear the jabber. You hear some jabber, all right.
Oh, man.
Bigfoot sightings, chupacabras, UFOs.
Oh, man.
All of it.
Aliens coming out of hay bales.
That's it. Alien fishermen. All right. Well, cool, man. Well, I don't know what else to say other than let's get this show to rolling, I guess, huh? Sponsors for today's show, Texan Roofing, the CCA Star, Belleville Meat Market, Anglers Anonymous, Mainstream Marketing, Boyd's One Stop, McLean Trailers, and Riceland Waterfowl Club. It's our sponsors today. We appreciate each and every one. Looking at weather right now. 85 down on the island in Galveston this morning. Feels like 94 with the humidity and everything, but today mostly sunny. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. High near 90. Winds will be south-southeast at 10 to 15. Here in the Houston area on the high ground, temperatures will be at least in the mid to upper 90s like they were yesterday. Tonight, they're throwing out about a 30% chance of rain, becoming partly cloudy. With thunderstorms developing late, low of 83, winds will be south 10 to 15. Here comes the dreaded dew pumping south wind again. I hope not. But for tomorrow, 20% chance, sunshine and clouds mix. Stray shower, thunderstorm is possible. High around 90, winds will be south 10 to 15. That's for Sunday, so who knows. But it is summer, and we finally laid it down. Jeez. Been waiting for this for a while. Tides for today. We're on a four-tide schedule. We're on a low right now that occurred at the Galveston Channel. Our next tide is a high at 8:46 a.m. It's a 1.2 coming off an 0.4. Then we have a low at 3:07 p.m. an 0.7. And then a high at 8:31 p.m. an 0.9. 6:44 a.m. sunrise. 8:05 p.m. sunset, and our moon phase is 84%, headed towards our next new moon, coming off that full moon. Right now, currently, the buoy 22 nautical miles east of Galveston is showing 87-degree water, 85-degree air, south wind at 9 to 11. Barometric pressure is 30.03 inches. And looking at Eagle Point, south-southwest at 5 to 6, and Morgan's Point is west-southwest at 3 to 5. So relatively calm the farther you go up into the bay system, which we can go with that. All right, well, here we roll. I guess we got Richard this morning because Bill's on vacation.
Oh, yeah. Old Rich, ready to rock.
Old Richard. Boy, we'll get cranked up with this rascal bright and early this morning. Richard, what's up, man?
Not a lot, Mickey. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm good, buddy. Hey, thanks for asking.
Thing.
At least you care.
I always care. I always care. You know that. There ain't no doubt. But it's but speaking of caring, I want to start out this morning saying, you know, giving condolences to Edward Thomas's family. You know Edward, don't you? Taco?
Yeah, I saw that always, yesterday. Lost another good one. While we're giving out condolences, Jack Pruitt, another great one, passed away yesterday, too. He's kept Blaine and a lot of our, you know, guide buddies and everything and quality Labrador retrievers for years. And, gem of a person and a wing shooting machine, man. Loved a dove and quail hunt. Just a great guy, man.
I'll tell you what, Doc on his hat was something else. That was, I always saw him at the FTU booth all the time at all the shows. He had that big old dang hat on. So
yep,
that's good people, great people. I guarantee you, man. I hate to see it, but let's get on into fishing. Dang it, them dang fish are still.
Hey, you got plenty of time this morning. You can slow it all down and take it easy. You got.
But you know me, I'm in a hurry. I'm always in a hurry.
Slow down and chill, man. It's all right. We're all going to make it.
I know, but it's not all in my DNA to slow down. That's one of the things that ain't going to happen no matter what. Because it's, you know, get out there and good night. You ain't just like with everybody's passing right now. It's like good night. You better have fun while you can because you ain't going to live forever. I promise you. It's, you know, that's one of the things. So many times throughout my life, I should have been dead. So that ain't not, I never thought I was going to make it past 30, let's put it that way. So, because I was a big old knucklehead when I was young. So, several different points. I shouldn't be here right now. And that's why I'm going to enjoy every second I got. That's why you can't figure out why I'm so wired up. You try having one foot in the grave three or four different times, and I guarantee you it'll wake you up. I guarantee it will. Well, you take figure 2,000 deals sitting in the hospital for 6 weeks with flesh eating bacteria ready to cut your leg off, you know, and with the potential of losing your life. Yeah, you start waking up a little bit, especially when you're a little older. You say, dang it, I ain't going, but I've always been this way. That's my problem. I have fun no matter what I do. It's just a matter of when it's my time to go, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go out doing what I want to do. That's what I hope everybody else does, too. Be happy doing it and live it. Live it to the fullest, dang it. So, and like last night, it's probably them UFOs out there. I know that's what it was. It was out there in the bay this morning about 2 o'clock. you think that's what it was, a bunch of dang UFOs flying around?
No, I don't know what was going on. Ambulances and cop cars, fire trucks. I mean, it was just a flow of them. I don't know what happened. When I left to come in here this morning, I looked everything over, and everything looked normal to me out there, but what do I know?
I hear you, with
the schedule I'm on, once I finally get to sleep at nighttime, you know, and I get into it, and then I get, you know, woke up like that, I mean, it messes the whole night up. You're damned. I should have just got up and made coffee at midnight and just kept rolling.
Yeah, just kept on. See, that's like me, though. Last night, I just could not sleep. And about 1 o'clock, dang it, I was up, and I just pretty much the same thing.
1 o'clock?
Yes. Well, I got up first at 12:30. And then, I laid down at 10. And I got up at 12:30, and I said, dang it, I can't sleep. And I fiddled around there a little bit, and 1 o'clock I laid down. I just tossed and turned. Finally, I got up about an hour ago. Oh, no, it's been about an hour and a half ago now. So I rolled around since 1 o'clock. So finally, I said, put on. I'm going to get on, headed that direction anyway. So as the other day, I was on the barn getting
bumped. Now, that's after fishing all day yesterday with no nap or nothing.
No, I don't get no naps. Every once in a while, I get a nap. I might get one today. So I hope no, I ain't going to get one today. It's Saturday.
Well, I just saw something here. Fire Department Chronicles. I can't believe this fish was still alive. Shows a marlin laying on the gurney next to a guy with the bill completely impaled through the guy's leg.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. That hurts.
Yeah.
I don't like
one guy's trying to hold a fish down. That's got to be some kind of fake stuff, man. No, I guess not. It looks like an emergency room to me.
Well, if it's already in an emergency room, I don't think the fish will be attached. I think that
I should have just pulled it out.
Yeah, well, that must
have. It went all the way through. It didn't hit bone, I guess. Oh, Lord, the things you see.
Yeah, when you pull them out like that, though, you can start bleeding. So they normally they'd cut that bill off them dang things or something. They ain't gonna carry a whole dang fish in there. But
a lot of
you can't ever tell what some of these knuckleheads are gonna do anymore. Anyway, it's like it's like these catfish that are biting on Conroe right now. People get slinging them in the boat. I had one fellow the other day. I ain't got no problem with anybody slinging them in the boat. That's what I want them to do because we're here to catch them quick, fast, in a hurry, right? I told him, I said, I ain't got no problem with slinging them in. He had one with about a 2.5-inch fins on the side. He went bring him in, and he come flying right at my chest. And I said, ooh. I stopped him just before he got there. I said, look, I don't want to be Steve Irwin out here. I don't want to get killed by a catfish. He got killed by a stingray. I don't want to get killed by no catfish. I don't mind you slinging me in. Just don't stab me in the chest with it. You know, okay, no problem. So, about a good 3-pound channel cat and had some good long fins. I mean, last year I got one shoved in my thigh. That hurts. They went about an inch and a half deep in my thigh. And the guy goes, what are you going to do? I said, hold on a minute. I pulled the hook out of it, and then I jerked it out of my leg. So there you go. That's a keeper. So jumped him in the well and kept on trucking. I mean, that's the thing. When you're dealing with these dingo catfish and stuff like that, you're going to get stuck. You're going to get cut. You're going to get this and that. So if you can't handle a little bit of pain, You better just stay back and watch.
That's kind of like on saltwater. These guys fishing with popping corks and shrimp. I had this happen in my boat one time. They'd catch a hardhead, and instead of just going ahead and taking it off, flipping it over the side, they'd take and slam it on the water and stun it where they could grab it with their hand and throw it back. And he went to sling another one, and it ended up in his buddy's back.
When that
poison set in, that was the end of that trip. That was the end of the road.
Yeah,
and I'd warned them, hey, man, y'all quit doing that. Just let me know. I'll take them off for you. I was fishing with lures. We were fishing the wells in the summertime.
Right.
And they wanted shrimp, so they were throwing shrimp, and they were weeding the hardheads out for me. I never caught one with a lure, but. Anyway, long story short, they kept slinging them like that, and one of them slung off the hook and ended up in his buddy's back, right between the shoulder blades, right by the spine.
Good night. Man, that hurts just thinking about it. I mean, that's crazy.
The top fin, too, man, the top one. And
that's the worst one.
They're all bad. Boy, that enzyme in them hardheads will light you up. They're painful, especially in the pit of your back. Jeez.
I know. I mean, and the thing is, if you were to get the Vibrio from it, that one's going to kill you.
Yep.
I mean, there's no doubt it's going to kill you. It's right there in your heart. There's no stopping it. So, things like that are strange and weird things that happen, and then it can actually kill you. Just like I've never understood how the hardheads hurt worse than just a regular channel cat or blue cat. If they sticky, they hurt. And they, like you said, they've got that enzyme in them And where these freshwater catfish, they don't really have anything that'll mess with you like that I know of. And I just know they hurt. And when they're on them fins on their side, it's a dang, it's like a steak knife. It's serrated.
Yeah, but it is.
It's directionally serrated.
Well, it's like an arrowhead, you know, and it was several of them. And it's just, it's better if you can push it through to push it through, but you can't. You got to pull it back. Those barbs are just, they're nasty, man.
They just rip.
Richard, hold that thought, and we'll come back with some more gruesome stories of fishing. And while I do a quick commercial break, I'll be right back at you, man. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. That's pretty fitting after the hard hit in the back. You talk about a ring of fire. Yes, sir. I normally don't mention anything political or anything on the show, but this is funny. I don't care who you are or who you're voting for. It says the three hardest jobs in America right now, one is being a police officer, two is an Alaska crab fisherman, and three is a sign language interpreter for Joe Biden. That just cracked me up. I had to share that. Oh, it's a Saturday morning. All right, Richard, we're back, man.
All right. Good deal.
Well, I guess you are fishing today.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. We're gonna go. Them dang hybrids are still doing pretty good. It's kind of
crazy. You're popping a few every day, man.
I know. It just kind of amazes me. You know, it's August, I don't know what's going on. It's a weird thing, and what's so bad about all this hybrid stuff is, and it's kind of a funny story. I've been catching them for about 3 weeks now, and you know they quit all pretty much all through July. They're at the end of it. They kind of started, but the day before I found them, you remember a few weeks ago when I almost limited out. I mean, that was real quick too. It was like in 10, 15 minutes we had like 15 of them or 13 of them, and but it was the day before that I had this someone called. And I don't know where they were from, but they called wanting to go hybrid fishing. And I told them, I said, well, they're really not biting right now. And I said, you know, I can take you out catfishing this and that. So I'm going to go out with these other, I don't know who else they're going out with for the catfish, but they go out with some other guys for catfishing. And she goes, well, you're the third person to tell me from Central Texas all the way to East Texas that they're not biting. I said, well, that kind of tells you it's pretty much true. And I said, you know, every once in a while I'll catch them, but I'm just not catching them right now.
Hmm.
Okay, she hangs up, and I don't even know who this is. And the next day I go out there, and we catch a few catfish, and they said, hey, you want to go try some hybrids? I said, sure, I want to go try some hybrids. So we, you know, and then boom, here we go, catch 13 up real quick. And then every day since then, some days I don't catch them, but I do catch at least one or two. Like yesterday, we had four that were actually hooked up and should have been in the boat. We got two in the boat. Two of them we looked at on the side of the boat, and then they come off. So, and that's what happens sometimes. You know, I get people all the time, and especially with them catfish. They'll be jerking on them dang old catfish and pull them up to the side and have a good one on and go, dang, that's a big one. I mean, they're down there. That's a big one. I said, yeah, I'll look at him in the boat, not outside, and then they'll come off. And I said, that's why you look at him in the boat. When you see him, you jerk him in the boat. Don't look out there and say, dang, that's a big, pretty one. No, get him in the boat, then you can look at him. Say, oh, he's a huge monster. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Yeah, you stare at him on the outside, they're going to come off. I mean, that's one of them things. When it comes to catching them catfish, we jerking them in the boat. I'm trying to act like them old tuna fins where they got some sticks and a hook, and they're just jerking them in.
Yeah,
that's the way I want to look out there catfishing. So that's the fun part. And then them GPO hybrids, I mean, once I get off of them, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to figure out if I can get a time schedule when they're biting, but I can't really figure nothing out.
Right
now, it seems like later in the day, the hybrids don't want to bite. But it's kind of like a mid-morning bite right now. It's not really a late morning.
What's a catfish bite? Is it early or just all day or what?
It's pretty much all day, but they're changing. Yeah. There, it's funny. You'll get small ones at a certain time of the day, and then you get bigger ones at like later in the morning. And they'll flip every once in a while. So it's kind of a weird thing. But and then I got a bunch of dang potluckers I'm dealing with too. So this, you know, it's one of them dang things where I done had three people pull up on my little old catfish hole out there. So I've been bouncing around some of my different ones. I think I'm going to have to quit baiting that one. This has been in the past month. There's been three people pulled up on it. So I quit baiting it. The fish quit showing up. So
how do they know it's there? They just knock you off on it, punch you in, or what?
Well, I don't know. Some of them go right beside me, and they'll mark it, and then they'll see me
come back
there
later.
Yeah, I mean, and I've had several of them that this spring I actually had one when we were crappie fishing. We had, you know, I throw corks in these bobbers, and bobber stops on those crappie. So I was tossing out to this brush pile, say 10 feet off the side of the boat. I had a guy almost come up and run over my dang lines marking a brush pile. So, nod heads. You can't fix stupid. So,
you'd use a little common sense for guys fishing the area and working, you know, a structure area like that. You just, just back off of it. Don't.
That's what
don't I, idle around I and look at it and see. I mean, that's well.
You're,
I don't know.
You're right. Well, this is freshwater stuff, but I mean, that's, you know, the thing.
No,
is,
it's. I think it's worse on saltwater. Well, you just need to come down here and see some of this stuff for yourself.
Enough of it on Conroe. I see enough of it on Conroe. When you're sitting 20 foot off the bulkhead, 20 feet now, that's a boat less than a boat length.
And they go between you and the bulkhead.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of like wade fishing. Wade fishing the shoreline, and they run between you and the shoreline.
I know. It's like you're not only going to kill me, you're going to kill yourself. You know, you got to pay attention to these things. I mean, dang, everything's out there to kill you. I mean, you just can't act dumb out there on the water. That's what gets me. And, you know, I'll panic sometimes, but for the most part, I just call them knuckleheads and go on.
Well, they're not held accountable for their actions anymore, and they just get the attitude, I'm going to do as I please and don't care what anybody else thinks. So, all right, Richard, I'm going to run, buddy. Well, somebody wants to come up and fish with you and do it up. How do they get a hold of you, man? Give them some info.
Well, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
You got it. Richard, have a good day, man. Be safe.
Y'all have fun.
All right, take care.
Always, brother.
All right. All right, that's the Fish Dude, Richard Totch, up on Lake Conroe. And let's go next. He's back off vacation. I left him off the list this morning thinking, well, he's not back yet, but he is. We're going to go to Captain Bill Watkins at Sabine Lake. Bill, good morning. What's up?
Hey, man. Nothing but heading to the water to get back to work.
There you go. Well,
people don't understand that. They say, you're going to work? I thought you're going fishing. Well, you just have to understand it from where I'm at.
Well, some just have better jobs than others.
That's right. Guess that's the only way to look at it. I mean, every once in a while, I look at one of them high-paid plant workers, and I go, tell you what, let's trade. I'll just get in your truck, and you get mine, and we'll swap jobs.
Yeah.
I know you're making a lot more money than I am. But it seems attractive. Oh, I get paid to fish? Well, that's not exactly the way it works.
No.
You actually have to put the people on the fish and let them fish. Every once in a while, though, if things are slow, I've got to, you know, reestablish the pattern. I'll pick up my rod and go at it. And once I get everybody catching, I'll stop. You know. Every day you have to figure it out from the get-go. You can't just go out there and go, I'm going to work the bait this way, at this location, and it's all going to come together, and then I can just stand and take fish off. Well, sometimes it does work that way. Sometimes it doesn't.
True.
Sometimes you have to add, you got to figure out what those fish are doing and where they're doing it. And it can get a little frantic sometimes, you know. You're trying to find it, and after a couple hours, you can't quite get there. You feel like you're behind the eight ball. These fish down here, they move. They may stay on a location for a week or two, and you might be lucky that way, and then you might go out there one morning and they're totally gone. So what I try to do is stay ahead of what the fish are going to do next. And at the end of the trip, if I've done well, I'll go check another spot that I think they're going to next and see if they're there. That way you can kind of stay a step ahead of the game.
Right.
Like I say, if you stay a while at one spot, people get to see you, and they'll do just like Richard said. They'll come right up there and throw up anchor right by you. Or they'll mark you, and you come back the next time, and they'll be there.
Exactly. You can't see it every day. Everybody's jockeying for position.
Yeah. And it's free water.
It
is. As long as they're not there when I'm there. I don't care. I don't say anything to people unless they pull up and block where I'm casting. And then I'll politely ask, you know, hey, could you back up enough to let me cast? And it's amazing what you hear sometimes. Well, I get to fish too. That's my favorite one. Well, yeah, you can fish all you want to, but, you know, let me cast. I can't throw a lure in your boat.
Common sense and a little courtesy. You know, what used to aggravate me the most is, you know, you're having a kind of a tough day, and then you finally get on a really good school, just open water, nobody around, only God knows you're there. And you're working open water school that's moving. You got them real comfortable, and they're moving slow, and you're using your trolling motor, and you're really weeding through them, catching some really good fish out of them. And this one joker will see you out there in the middle of nowhere and can't stand it. He's got to come look. And then puts his troll motor down and then cuts in and cuts you off of your own school of fish. You know, everybody's bowed up, and you're trying to net, and, you know, you're trying to stay on the trolling motor and stay just right. You got the school relaxed, and he pulls in there with his and gets them to running. And I never understood that. I never understood what would possess a person to do something like that to another fisherman. I mean, I never could figure that out.
Well, I feel like, Mickey, that's telling you something about that person's character.
You think?
to be perfectly nice about it, you know, that tells you something about them. I've sat behind people or off to the side that are on flock of birds and not come in. I mean, I just sat out there.
Right.
And watch and see if that scoop splits. Sometimes they'll fork off and a bunch of them will go one way. And I can, you know, sometimes it's to the side I'm sitting on. And I'll fish those, but I'm not going to go up there and cut somebody off.
That's just
totally wrong. And I normally don't have anybody complain about doing that. I mean, people do it to me. If they're really good fishermen, they'll pull up there and sit out of the way. They'll idle in real quiet and stay a respectful distance. And then that school will split. And you got your end of it, they got their end of it, and that's fine. Works out real well.
Yep.
And really good fishermen know how to do that.
Hang on, Bill. Let me do a quick commercial break and come back, and we'll talk some more.
You got it.
I'll be right back with you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 436 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back and talk a little more with old Bill Watkins. All right, Bill, we're back, man. Thanks for holding.
Hey, not a problem. Not a problem at all. I tell you the people that get freaked out about fishing their water is crappie guys.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they guard that like a guard dog. But people find their brush mouse. You know, some of them actually ride by and, you know, spot them, line them up, and then go in GPS after they leave. And some people just wandering around side scanning, and they find them. And if they're there when one of the guides shows up, they get a tongue lash and a lecture about how hard they have to work to put out those brush piles. I understand their end of it because, you know, people do it to me in places I find. But I don't say anything about that because it's public water. Once you drop your brush pile in that public water,
it becomes community property.
It is not yours anymore. You ask the game warden about that. So rather than stir up bad relations, best thing to do is keep your mouth shut. Unless they pull up there and bump into your boat and drop their anchor, that would be grounds for griping. my brother's almost as old as I am. He's fished Rayburn for, oh my goodness, since we were kids. And he had a 20-year hiatus off fishing Rayburn. And he went up there, and it's been 3 or 4 years ago, and he went over to one of our old favorite fishing spots that he'd always caught crappie on. There's an old kind of a cypress tree sticking up over their old snag, and he tied up to it. And immediately this young man in a bass boat come up there and proceeded to tongue lash him for following him to his brush pile. And that started an altercation that liked to got that young man hurt.
Because
he wouldn't quit. He just kept on and on. And my brother said, well, who are you anyway? He said, I was fishing here before you were born. And that's the kind of stuff that causes guides to get a bad name.
Yeah.
You know, you start off yelling at people like that. Best thing to, and my brother didn't even know he was on a brush pile. He didn't have a clue. And that kind of stuff goes on all the time. I've never been fussed at for fishing one, but if I knew that a guide had put that out there, I would leave it alone.
Well, that's like building a duck blind on the bay out there, you know, public property. It's community property, and if somebody beats you your own blind opening morning, that's just I know it's kind of chicken to do that. I mean, that's, you know, for somebody to just go out and take somebody's blind over that spent all the time working and sweating and driving pilings and building all that, bought all the lumber and brushed it up.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. And
a lot of work.
Just go in there and take it over like that, that takes gall. But
yeah, it's just not right.
No, it's not. That's
that's wrong in a lot of ways.
It is, but they do it.
System where you should be able to get a permit and put a line in a place like that. It should be a system where they, you know, you
yeah, they should
do
that.
Work,
they really should.
And renew your deal, you know.
Exactly.
But hey, that's just one of those kind of things. Build it and they will come.
Yes, they will.
Anyway, since I didn't get to fish last week, I did, you know, I've got ears on the water and eyes on the water all the time. The jetty's cleared up really pretty, and there was some trout caught, and then the sharks moved in. Not little sharks, but, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 footers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and ate everybody's lures, and Spanish Max took up what was left. So I still got good water on the jetties and beachfront, but if you can get away from the sharks, you can catch some trout. That's how it works sometimes.
I'm hearing a lot of shark stories right now. The sharks are really invading the bays.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm going to go out there this morning or not. I may just try to fish the channel or the lower part of the lake.
Right.
I know we've had quite a bit of fresh water move in.
Have you?
From all the rain we've had. Yeah, just rainwater. We did
just local runoff. Yeah, well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, from 2 weeks of off and on heavy rains, during that tropical period there we had. But all of that will stabilize quickly. I don't think it'll be a problem for more than 2 or 3 days. But that may move a lot of our northern fish down mid-lake. I'd like to see that, too.
Yeah.
Might put some bird action out there.
Well, looking at right now in Port Arthur, you've got a southeast wind at 3. Coast Guard Station at Sabine Pass is calm. And Texas Point there by the jetties is 6 out of the south.
I can handle that.
You can go anywhere you want to this morning. Calcasieu's the same way over there. 2 miles an hour, 7 at their jetty at the pass. And looks good.
Yep. Shouldn't have any problem catching fish.
Go where you want, throw what you want, do what you want.
Yeah. Right. Do it your way.
Yes, sir. I'm sure the water on the bottom end is pretty and green.
Yeah. Last week when I left off fishing, it was pretty easy to catch 25 or 35 trout. We're catching an occasional 22, 23-incher, but I haven't seen anything much bigger than that.
No, so far the starboard still got the same two fish for the upper coast that have been on there since the beginning, so there's still three slots available on the board.
The super slimy croaker guys are they're catching some fours and fives, but nothing that would get them that price, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I talked to one of them. I know this guy's really good at it, and he's catching some good fish. But
where do they get their croakers over there? They have to come over here to get them, or what?
I'm not sure. I hadn't asked him that, but he's got a really fine oval commercial croaker tank in the back of his truck.
Oh, okay. Well,
so he can keep them, you know, once he gets them, wherever he gets them, he can keep them alive. And, I mean, I've never seen a croaker tank in a fishing truck that was, you know, like that. That thing must be a 70 or 80 gallon rig with a big old pump in it. It stays in there all during croaker season. So these guys really know how to do it. They don't mind driving over to Bolivar at 3 in the morning to get their croaker to come all the way back over here to fish.
Yep.
I know some guys that leave Houston and drive all the way to Bolivar, get there at 3:30 in the morning, get their croaker, and come all the way to Sabine to fish, and then turn around and go all the way to Houston. Same day.
They're mad
at
them.
That's a marathon run right there.
Yeah, they're mad at them.
They are mad at them. They're wanting it.
Yeah, they are. That's all right. I'll stick with a convenient package, lures.
That's exactly right.
Well,
they
good deal.
On average, they may catch a few bigger fish than I do during the summer. But rest of the year, it ain't happening.
Yeah. To each his own.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't matter whether you fish with lures or croakers. We're all still killing the same amount of fish. They're still dead.
Mm-hmm.
Once you box them, they're still dead. No matter what you call them on.
That's exactly right. And that's why you need a limit that makes sense for the fishery. That's why I don't think the 5 fish limit is a bad thing.
No.
I think it's necessary. And the sooner Louisiana does it, the better off I'll like it.
Yeah, it'll just continue to make your fishery better. We saw that back in the day when they were still allowed to gill net the Louisiana side and not the Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw, well, Texas side had the best fishing for the bigger fish and everything. And then once they got rid of that, then it changed everything. It got better all over the lake. So,
yeah,
oh, well.
Instead of regulating what bait you can fish or what lure you can fish, just set the limit where it won't hurt the fishery. And
that's
everybody, you'll do what they want to do.
Exactly
right.
All right, Bill. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you about coming over at Sabine and hooking up with you, throw them out a number, man.
409-786-2018.
rfishsabinelake.com.
That's it, brother.
All right, my friend. Well, it's always good talking to you, Bill. I'm glad you're back off vacation, and go out there and roll a few today, man.
Will do.
T-roll some trout.
I hope so.
All right. Well, good luck to you, and be safe, my friend. Good talking to you.
Take care, man.
All right, Bill. See you, man. All right, that's Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. Now let's go to Charlie P. down in Matagorda. Charlie, what's up, buddy?
Morning, Mickey. What's happening?
Oh, not a lot. Good morning to you, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Nothing new over here, Mickey. It's like a broken record.
Broken record, Charlie.
Yep. Yeah. Same old stuff, man. Getting waiting for this alarm clock to go off so I can jump up and get percolating.
Well, you just answered it. We woke you up, man.
No, I was listening to y'all.
Were you?
Yeah, listening to y'all talking about croakers and netting and whatever.
Right.
It's the same over here. And in fact, I think it's 90% croakers over here now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's that popular there.
They can make you look bad going to the cleaning table, I can tell you that.
Yeah. That's in the eyes of the beholder. Depends on how you look at it.
I know.
You going to feed them or you going to fool them?
Yep. Yep. But, well, at least we got some east in the wind. You know, we're not fighting a southwest wind right now, so.
Not yet. Hopefully that's over with for the year.
Believe it when I see it. What, how big are the seas today? Have you noticed that on your radar or anything?
Let's see what they're calling for. Get that zone area, which covers kind of all of us. 5 to 10 knots southeast today, 1 to 2 foot seas.
Yeah, see if
2 feet tomorrow, building Saturday night to 2 to 3 Monday. Looks like 2 to 3 foot seas Monday night, and then back down to 2 for the rest of the week. So we're showing a due south wind all week coming up.
But it's southeast right now, isn't it, today?
Southeast right now, yes, sir.
Yeah, a few of the people got in the surf yesterday. You know, it's a little choppy, but I don't know whether they were throwing croakers or what, but they caught them pretty good. But other than that, people are scattered around in the bay. You know, the best bite in the bay is in the middle of the day, like 12 to 2.
Backside of the full moon, man.
Yeah. And by that time, people are ready to come in.
Yeah.
So unless you got diehards out there that'll stay, you know, you're just going to grind out 8 or 10, 12 fish.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're throwing croakers.
Right.
So, but everything's okay over here. You can go East Bay, West Bay, surf. You know, you got some diehards that'll go to the river every day. I don't know what they're fishing for in there, but it's just the only place they know to go. And
right.
Some people catch stumble across the redfish in the river. But other than that, it's the same old thing every day. Be fighting heavy crowds. It's like you go to that marina this morning, Mickey, about 5:45. It looks like a funeral procession coming into that thing.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yep. You know, on a good Saturday, they're parking out in the street.
Goodness.
You know, it's and then every day during the week is like Saturday used to be. Just more people fishing now. I don't know how in the hell all these fish come out of this bay system.
It'll catch up with y'all sooner or later. It did us.
Yeah.
Everybody thought me and Hillman were crazy 4 and 5 years ago when we were talking about all this stack up. You know, what people don't realize, we had 10 years of what we'd call a stack up situation. Too much salinity for 5 years. And those fish were just so vulnerable. I mean, you just, anybody could catch them. And then with the floods, the stack ups from the freshwater, anybody could catch them. And it took its toll on our overall population. We saw it coming, and we caught a lot of flack about that. Said we were stupid and didn't know what we were talking about. Well, I want to hear them all call me stupid now with the amount of fish we have. And for whatever reason, it just, I prayed that I was wrong about what I saw coming. But you can't.
You talking about that stack up in Jack's pocket?
Yeah, before the before all the fresh water. Yeah, we had 4 or 5 years of just, hey, just pull up out there anywhere or get out and wade and just roll them up, man, all you want.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd have people that were fishing over here. I mean, our fishing was off the charts, too. And they were, it was so easy. They were going over to Galveston.
Yeah, so they could get 10. Pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
And then you had to stack up from the freshwater that put them all, you know, they were just so vulnerable and so easy targetable. And the ones that didn't leave, a lot of them were flushed out. And especially Harvey, that was pretty much the last tied out thing. But we kind of, we were doing pretty good, but this year is a telltale. I mean, it's very apparent when you narrow it down. You know, you got over 600 square miles of water over here, and only about a third of it has fish in it. You know, fishable numbers, you know, where people can actually go out and almost get their limit or catch a limit. So.
Well, I'm sure it'll catch up with us over here sooner or later. I think I'm old enough not to worry about it right now, though.
Me too. I'm just glad I'm still able to get a boat in and out of the water and go through the motions.
Yep. I'm glad that I got this.
They're not going to see what we saw. It'll never happen again. People are optimistic and said, "Oh, it'll come back," but it too much pressure, man. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Too commercialized and, you know, everything else. Just, it's the times we live in now.
I know the boating industry has just got to be booming because I see new boats in the water every week.
Yeah.
You know?
Where all this money's coming from, I don't know.
Stimulus, man. Stimulus.
Well, no, stimulus don't buy boats.
They're making their first payment with it.
It might buy gas, but it's not going to buy boats. But if it don't get any better in this country, all that stuff's going to be up for grabs.
Yeah.
It'll be foreclosure and repo city, buddy.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm seeing more new trucks and more boats than I've ever seen in my life.
I'm telling you, I'm scared to buy anything.
Me too.
I'll just live within my means and just continue on.
You got it.
But that's part of the aging process. You appreciate more what you have, and you really don't need what other people need.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Just good to be here. Be like Maurice and be running a 30-year-old boat. Just throw a new motor on it every now and then. Hey, that's the way to roll. Those pretty boats don't catch any more fish than the old ones.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Power them properly, and you'll be able to get in and out every day.
There you go. We're going to...
Because all you're going to do is take it out there and tear it up and gut it out anyway.
Yep. That's right.
All right, Charlie. Well, hey, man, go get them today, and we appreciate you. And hang in there.
We'll do it, Mickey.
All right, bud. Throw them out a number.
713-725-2401.
You got it, my friend. Thank you, Charlie. You have a good weekend. See you, bud.
Take care, Mickey.
All right, later. That's Captain Charlie Paradosky down in Matagorda.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.